Messiah Christian Church, we have Wednesday night healing services. And it's a special privilege for us to have Brian tonight to come to us. And what a blessing it has been. He just recently did a Saturday morning healing training here. And that was exciting to have everybody show up, and great teaching and just wonderful anointing as people lined up and so many people got touched. And I expect there's a lot of people going to get touched tonight. If not, everybody's going to get touched in what you've been crying out and asking God for. So my prayer is that just be in receiving mode tonight. Everything that you have need of. Want to give Brian the opportunity to just come up. But if you don't know Brian, there were some here that did not know him. But he's local. I guess Henrico, grew up in Henrico. Your mom lives on this side of the river. You live on the north side. That's what I found out. So she said Chesterfield's the better place. And then Henrico was where you drifted off to, right? But Brian travels all over the world. I mean, I don't know how many countries you've been to, but you do a lot of evangelism and a lot of healing, kind of neck and neck, both together. So in many different nations, and of course here in America as well. We're just blessed that he is local, so he didn't have a far way to come to be here with us tonight, but we are so blessed to have him. I do want to say a note, because I don't know if he'll say, but he has his book. But what an awesome testimony. If you don't know his testimony, then I would suggest pick up his book tonight, because what a powerful testimony, 10 hours to live. And he can say more about that. I'm not sure how much you're going to say about that, but just a powerful testimony of just a aggressive cancer that hit him as a young man. And it was a decision. It was life or death, but they chose life. And God did a miraculous healing in him. And what a powerful testimony of a faithful family that you guys really held on to the Word of God. So if you haven't gotten it, it's going to bless you just by picking up a copy as you go on out tonight. But Brian, I want to give you the time and to minister and lead us how you feel led.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, can we give it up for Jesus tonight? Amen. How many of y'all love Jesus? Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody tonight. I tell you what, there's such a hunger and there's such a need for healing, isn't it? All right. And to come on a Wednesday night, I just so appreciate Messiah open up y'all's doors and, you know, and just the foundation that Messiah has laid over the last, 20 years? All right, with Joey Anderson and different ones. And then to have Destiny Church join us tonight. Let's give it up for Destiny. And I see many familiar faces over the years, and good to see all of you guys tonight. So we serve a healing God, don't we? Amen. We serve a healing God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so tonight we're going to have a time of healing, time to pray for the sick. And we're going to invite some of the ministers that are here tonight to also participate in that. And so how many of y'all came expecting tonight? Amen. I believe that many of you did. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. My goodness. Wow. Let's all lift up our hands and let's go before the Lord. I just sense that the Spirit of God is just kind of hovering. It's like the Spirit is just hovering right now. We're not going to get in a hurry. Just lift up your hands and let's just begin to talk to the Lord. Again, one more time, just in your own voice, just begin to speak to the Lord. Lord, we just thank you tonight for your presence. Lord, we just thank you tonight for your presence that's here. Lord, we thank you for the praise. We thank you for the worship. But Father, we right now honor you by lifting up our own voice, worship and praise and thanksgiving for all that you are, all that you've done for us. All that you're doing, Lord, we just give you praise. We give you honor. Oh, we glorify your name. Your name is above every name. Your name is above sickness. Your name is above pain. Your name is above diabetes and joint pain and cerebral palsy, cystic fibrosis. Your name is above heart disease. Come on now, high blood pressure. All right. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thank you for every person that's here tonight. Lord, I just speak a blessing over them. Lord, I just speak that blessing, the blessing of the Lord over them. Lord, that they're blessed, and that, Lord, that they're redeemed from the curse. Lord, we just thank you tonight that we are redeemed from the curse of sickness, the curse of poverty, the curse of spiritual death, and Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And Lord, we just thank you tonight for your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Can we give it up for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How many of y'all joined us for the Saturday training last time? Yeah. Good to see you guys. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, it's really been in my heart just going forward in this year and then in years to come. Just, you know, I used to have a number of healing schools in Richmond, and I remember I was with about 35 pastors one time, and they said, you know, Brian, we need to all get together. We all the churches, all the pastors, we need to start preaching healing real strong and do it together. And so I said, hey, I'm in. You know, I love healing. How many of y'all love healing tonight, right? And so it was about 35 pastors, and I'm like, yes, you guys are speaking my language. You know, let's do it. And so we all decided to that we would rent out like basically a dance studio on a Saturday night. And so we started having healing services. Well, you know, I kept calling the pastors. I'm like, well, pastors, weren't we going to do this together? You know, and so, you know, Joe Anderson came and spoke, and different ones spoke, you know, but just over time, and we saw some tremendous miracles, saw some great things happen, you know, but it was like, as months went by, it was like, it became kind of my thing rather than the body of Christ thing. How many know what I'm talking about, right? And so pastors were like, yeah, well, I know I meant well, but I'm just so busy. Hey, I get it, you know, and there's church programs, church activities. But, you know, I just sense that, you know, after this whole COVID deal, it's time for the church to rise up.
Amen.
We should be the healing church, okay? And so maybe I can do my part and stir up the waters a little bit, or Pastor Jeff or whatever. But, you know, we need to hit healing like we've never hit it before. You know, the church is not called just to pray for the sick. We're called to heal the sick. We are called to heal the sick, and we've got to stand up. We got to, you know, the definition of insanity is what? Doing things the same way and expecting, yeah. And so I think the church has been a little bit insanity, right? You know, it's like we've allowed people to come sick, and we just keep allowing them to be sick, right? And so if something's wrong with our message, let's get whole with God and let's figure things out, all right? Because Jesus is the healer, all right? And we need to be shouting that from the rooftops to the world, especially now, okay? With the whole COVID and the vaccinations and all the complications, okay? I believe in these last days that the world is going to take a look at the church, because as we stand up and begin to walk in divine health, hello, walk in divine prosperity, come on, all right, the church is going to be a beacon, it's going to be the light, all right, for the world to see. Have you all in agreement with that tonight, amen? Praise the Lord. And so let's go ahead and open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Exodus, and also to Matthew chapter 11. And so as you're turning there, you know, I want to see the body of Christ come together, right? You know, I want to see churches, you know, move in the area of healing. We ought to see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. I mean, you know, God's still the same God, right? Listen, if I can go on college campuses and I can put big banners out there, come see miracles, all right? And the football players come, and the Hindu, all the different people from all over the world, they come, they're in pain, they're sick. Listen, if we can put it out there on a college campus, and kids are hungry to see the real deal, all right, they want to see a move of God. I mean, that's what the church needs to be doing. We need to be advertising Jesus the healer. Hello, all right, you know. And so, but we've kind of lost our edge, and we got to get our edge back, all right. And so, so I believe that as we go into this season, all right, I believe that some great things are going to happen. How many of y'all believe in great outpourings and great, you know, great things, great things to happen in our country? And so, God is not finished with our country, right? I believe that the United States will be reborn again. And so there'll be some great things that God will begin to do more and more in our country. And so if you have your place here in Exodus chapter 34, we're going to start there tonight. And I want you to notice how God started things off. In Exodus 34, verse 10, then God said, behold, I am going to make a covenant. Everybody say covenant. So what did God want to do? He wanted to make a covenant with his people. All right? A covenant of blessing. A covenant of obedience. And he said this, before all your people, I will do wondrous works, miracles, and wonders, such as have not been created or produced in all the earth, I'm reading out of the Amplified, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among you who live shall see the working of the Lord. You see, when God started everything off with a covenant, what did he say? I want to show you something. I want to show you who I really am. I'm going to show you wonders. I'm going to show you miracles. I'm going to show you powerful things that have never, ever happened in all the earth. You know, so often people ask about miracles. They ask, is God still doing these things today? Yeah, of course he is, all right? God's never changed. God is the God of all miracles, right? So miracles have never ceased. Miracles are still here today. And so in the very beginning of this covenant in the Old Testament, God says, listen, this is the deal, all right? I want to have a relationship with you, and if it's okay with you, I want to show you my power. I want to show you wonders and signs and miracles that have never taken place in the earth before. Is that okay with you? Would that be okay with you? All right? I mean, this is how God started things off, right? And so we see it all the way back to Exodus. Hey, God says, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to have a relationship, a covenant. And if it's okay, I just really want to show off. All right? You know, the Bible says that throughout eternity, God will continue showing himself off. Right? He'll show us new things, age after age. You know, we'll see more of God, more of who he is. You know, and I'm kind of always reminded of like the guy that has the coat, you know, and then he goes, oh, yeah. You like this? Okay, this is pretty good. But wait till you see this, all right? Because there's a lot more, right, in God. And I like to say it this way. Hey, God is good, all right? But just as much as you know how good he is, guess what? He's way gooder than that. Everybody say he's way gooder than that, all right? And just as much as you know how great he is, guess what? He is far, far, what? Greater than that. So I believe tonight we have some people who believe in miracles. Come on. Amen. Signs and wonders. All right. Everybody say miracles.
Miracles.
Signs and wonders. God showing himself off. All right. All right. I think we're on the same page tonight. So let's look in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And so most of you know, have heard maybe my testimony how at 22 years of age, I was given a death sentence by the doctors. I thought I was in the best shape of my life. I was one day away from leaving to play tennis in Europe. And I found myself laying in a hospital bed. And a doctor walked in and said, young man, I've got bad news to tell you. You've got the fastest growing cancer in the world. You may have 2 weeks or less to live. And all I can say is that was not on my radar screen. You know, at 22 years of age, you think your life is almost invincible. And, you know, you've got dreams, you've got things, passions, and things that you want to pursue and do. And so at 22, you know, I was given that diagnosis. And so my parents. Thank God for Bible-believing parents. And as a family, you know, I grew up going to healing services. I tell people I was raised Baptist and we became Bapticostal. So, you know, we attended Bon Air Baptist Church, you know, just right down the road here. And then my parents were more hungry for more. And so they started pursuing more things, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and healings and healing services. And so as a young boy, you know, I was, you know, like 8, 9, 10 years of age, you know, we were going into healing services. And when you were that young, they let you sit on the platform and watch all the miracles. So I sat on that platform, I watched the miracles, all right? I watched the blind eyes open, the deaf ears open, the legs grow out, you know. God performed dental surgery and people, you know, people getting gold teeth. I mean, you know, like I was in part of that atmosphere, okay? And so when you're raised like that and you see miracles, you see the supernatural like that, then there's nothing that can ever replace it. There's nothing that can ever substitute for seeing the real power of God. You know, it's like my daughter who was in Christian school, and one day her teacher, you know, brought a book, and it was a Harry Potter book, and the teacher said to the class, "Hey, I want to recommend this Harry Potter book, you know, to all of you, and you know, a lot of kids your age are reading it." And so, I mean, my daughter's in seventh grade or something, and so she raises her hand. She says, "Well, teacher, with all due respect, why would I want to read that book? I mean, you know." And the teacher said, "Well, you know, it's full of imagination and fascination, all this stuff." And my daughter's, and I don't think the teacher had a clue what my daughter was talking about, but she said, "But teacher, you know, that book is full of counterfeit power." She says, "I've traveled, I've been in services, and I've seen the real power of God. So why would I want to read a book about counterfeit power?" Can we give it up for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like to know what the teacher had to say after that. But all right, so let's look here in Matthew chapter 11. And I love this passage. I just love to sometimes... Even preachers have favorite passages they like to preach from. So, and this is one of them for me. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2. It says, "And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. For the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me.'" You know, I love this passage because, first of all, John's disciples came and they said, "Are you the one? Are you the one that the scriptures tell about? Are you the one that of all the prophecies? Are you the Messiah? What's the proof that you're the Messiah?" You know, I love Jesus' response because Jesus said, "Listen, go tell John the things that you hear and the things that you see." I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? Okay, when I go into the Muslim world and Jesus heals Muslim people, the proof is in the pudding who Jesus is. All right, they may have been born Muslim, they may have been grown up to go into the mosque and hear all the teachings of Islam and all that, but the moment that Jesus heals them from an incurable disease, is the moment that Jesus becomes real. In Jesus, that's the proof that's in the pudding that Jesus is alive and he is the healer. Can you say amen? And so Jesus' response is so key here. Of all the things that Jesus could let people know about himself, he chose six things. Six things, and five out of six involve miracles. So what do you think Jesus wanted people to know about himself? Everybody say, miracles. All right? Say it again. See? Miracles. All right? And so Jesus, I say it this way. How did Jesus want to present himself? You know, we should ask ourselves that question today within our churches. How should we present Jesus? Well, he tells us how he wanted himself to be presented, because the way he responded, he says, "Well, you go tell John the things that you hear and see, for the blind see, the deaf hear, all right, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So the question is, are we preaching the same Jesus? Are we getting the same results as Jesus? How many churches are preaching that that Jesus raises the dead? How many churches are preaching that the deaf hear? All right, the lame walk. All right. Boy, we have a lot of sick people in church these days, right? You know, it's a sad case. And yet we're supposed to be the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, all right? We're supposed to, believers shall what, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover and be healed. Amen? And so we've got to step up our game, right? All right, a little bit. And so God always allows us to set the level of expectation. So if we're content just having church as usual, all right, guess what? Church will always be as usual. All right? But if we want to raise the level, okay, and expect more. You know, I was at Penn State University. I've been there 6 or 7 times. We've trained Penn State students how to pray for the sick. We've gone and evangelized, I don't know how many college campuses around the country. All right? We took a trip to Ireland. And it was about 16 students, okay? And we stood at a street corner for 3 days, people crossing, going back and forth. We were praying for people. And at first, you know, people were like, what do you want to do? I said, hey, can we pray for you? It looks like you're, you know, walking kind of funny there. It looks like, you got some pain? You got something going on? Yeah. Well, can we pray for you? Oh, no, I don't want religion. Well, good. Neither do we. All right. We're not offering religion. Because we don't want religion either. We just want to pray for you in 10 seconds. Just give us 10 seconds. We're going to pray for you, and Jesus is going to heal you. I said, okay. And they're like 10, 9, 8. Yeah, you know. And so before we could even finish praying, all right, they're going, What did you do to me? Wait, what are you talking about? You know, well, all that pain is gone, you know, and I felt like this warm sensation and all these different things. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of Jesus, okay? All right? And they're like, well, that's odd, you know. I said, yeah, check it out. Go ahead. You know, do some circles, do some flips, whatever you want to do. You know, like, check things out. And so people would stop on the streets. We stopped people going back and forth for hours, all right, every single day. And you know that? These students, they got so excited, all right, because for 3 days, we watched everyone that we could stop and interview. And, you know, if we needed to pray for them a second time, we would do it. But just within those just few minutes, all right, on the streets of Dublin, Ireland, do you know, for 3 days, every single person was healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so when you set a level of expectation, that's who Jesus is. Well, you know, we know that Jesus is the Savior. We know that if someone is lost and they come to church, all right, and they pray a sinner's prayer, right, and ask Jesus to come and live in their heart and believe, you know, that he was raised from the dead and ask forgiveness of sins, all of that. We know, right? We know when they leave, right? They're saved. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We know that they're saved, okay? And because that's what the scripture says, all right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, all right, and you shall be saved, all right? So if we have that expectation for salvation, all right, why don't we have it for healing? You know, if someone came in oppressed, all right, and they were down and people prayed for them, we could pray for them. And just like that, the power of God, the presence, the anointing of God, just within moments, all right, all of a sudden, all of that stuff would be lifted off of them, all right, and they would walk out with a new countenance. They would walk out free, okay? Well, isn't that true for oppression or anything else that people tend to come into church with? Y'all know what we would expect the Lord to manifest, right? And for them to be set free. Well, how about if they wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, it might take a little coaching, might just take a few instructions, all right? Now, it used to be in the old days, the expectation was that you had to tarry. You know, people come to the altar and they're tarrying, they're waiting. But after more teaching, right, and then the teaching gave more revelation gave more expectation, right? So now we tell people, listen, ask and you shall receive, right? All right, and so now things are different. Now people know, hey, okay, just open up your mouth, allow the Lord to, you know, just the gift of tongues, all these different things you go through. But, and so we help train people in these things, okay? And so if that's true for salvation, for like oppression or in the area of freedom or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then why don't we have the same expectation for Jesus, for healing? Just because we've never done that. We've never raised the level of expectation to such a degree, right? But I believe that miracles should be the norm. See, it's all the same Jesus. There's no separation. Right? Jesus said in the Gospels, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to heal the man and the man gets up off the bed and he's healed and he's well. See, there's no difference to Jesus. It's all the same work. It's all the same Jesus. Come on, it's all the same power. All right? It's literally all the same. But see, somewhere along the line in church history, we decided, okay, we're going to just preach a salvation gospel, all right, instead of preaching the full gospel, right? Salvation is forgiveness. Salvation is healing, all right? It's Jesus. That's what Jesus did at the cross. Aren't you glad that he went to the cross and he saved you, he healed you, set you free? Come on now, let's give it up for Jesus one more time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go in your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 5. You know, as I'm going to just make a couple of points that I made for the seminar we did. You know, as Christians, we're living in a culture right now that is being bombarded with all the medical, all the scientific, all the pharmaceutical. All right? And so we're up against these things. You know, when I was in the hospital, all right, I tell people today, I didn't fight cancer as much as I fought all the carnal, intellectual, scientific thinking, you know? Because they definitely were on a path to really strip us of faith, our family of the faith that we were believing God for a miracle. All right? And so psychologists would come in and they'd say, how are you coping? And I said, well, here's what we're doing. We got scripture verses on the wall. Psalm 118, verse 17, I will live and not die. Declare the works of the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. My words are life. My words are health. My words are medicine. You know, I mean, here we are. We're speaking the word. How many know it's important for us to, what, speak the word, right? Life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? And so, so just as soon as we started doing that, I mean, it was like all H-E-double-L broke loose. So the doctors came to me, well, what does God have to do with this diagnosis? Maybe everything, right? Yeah. I mean, he's the healer. And so they sent in the psychologists and they took all the scripture verses and tore them off the walls and ripped them up and threw them in the trash. So I don't think you'll be needing those now. I mean, where's your God? It looks like he's, you know, gone on vacation or something. All right? And so, So what are you going to do now? Well, I guess we'll just have to get out the scriptures and reprint them, and now we're going to do poster size, all right, biggie size, you know? And so that's what we did. We did it three times, all right, because they were so mad that we were using our faith, all right, that we were believing God for a miracle, all right? But that's kind of the culture that we're still faced with, right? Okay, and so that's why the Bible says, Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world's way of thinking. Amen. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into its own mold. All right? And so often in life, we've adopted what the world adopts. We've come to expect what the world expects. And that's not right. The world doesn't have a covenant of healing. The world doesn't have the name of Jesus. The world doesn't have all authority over all the work of the enemy. And I love what it says in Malachi 3:18, which we did for the seminar, and that says that Malachi 3:18, God says, for there is a distinction. There is a distinction between those who serve God and those who don't. And we need to know there is a distinction. All right? We are in covenant. We have the word. We have the name that's above all names. Amen. Come on now. Not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit, all right? The Spirit of life, the Spirit of power, living and dwelling right here inside of us, okay? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on now, all right? I mean, how much more do you want? You know, I mean, we've got everything that God is, everything that God has, everything that God can do has been downloaded into our hard drive. Amen.